Hello, welcome to this episode of My Fermented Life. Thanks for joining us as we document the journey of an entrepreneur and his family as they pursue their dreams of building a food and beverage brand. Follow along as we discuss events, lessons, and meet some really cool people along the way. Now, this week's episode is brought to you by Madge's Food, making fermented food and beverages tastier and healthier, 1 billion microbes at a time.
And now, your king of kimchi, the Baron of Bloody Mary, and the Marquis of Michelada, Mike Miller.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of My Fermented Life. This is your host, Mike Miller. Today is September 28th, 2018. Thank you for tuning in again. Glad to have you back. If this is your first time, thank you for joining us. Make sure you go back and listen to our introduction. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, and somehow Google. We're not sure why Google's not working, but hey, we'll figure that out. But yeah, let's give some Google podcasts some love. Plus, also, we appreciate if you'd share and spread the love with somebody that you know is in the food business, or maybe somebody who's thinking about getting into this industry. Give them a gift. There's just some amazing knowledge and skill that have been here as guests that can help these people overcome, you know, the many trials and errors that we've all had. Also, if you'd like to reach out to us, please follow us on Twitter and Facebook, My Fermented Life. Leave us a comment, and I do appreciate corny jokes as well. Today we are recording live from our guest's office, and I'm really excited about this. I'm a little excited now because the air conditioning got off and I didn't know how to get rid of the AC hum. And I'm sure if I had a really good sound engineer intern, they could help me. So again, I'm asking if you are interested in coming and helping us with our audio and visual or in our sound, reach out to us. We are definitely looking for an intern in a lot of different areas. Today, we're going to continue our interviews of these amazing people that we meet in the companies in the culinary space, both from the service side and the consumer packaged good. As I always said, part of the role of this podcast is the interesting people I meet, and believe me, I'm meeting some amazing, interesting people. Now, this guest for this week, I've been excited about since I even dreamt the idea of doing this podcast. This is a company that I have been amazed by. I follow, I love their product, I love the founders, I love the family behind it. And I actually look up to them and try to stay in touch because they've helped me a lot of times just because they're kind of down the road from where I'm at. So there's somebody that I can, it's kind of that lighthouse to see what's ahead. Today, I want to introduce you to Alisa Seelan from Fond Bone Broth.
Hey, Mike, it's great to be here with you.
Well, me too. I'm really excited about doing this today in your lovely new manufacturing warehouse and office. I love it.
Thank you. Yeah, we like it too. A little echoey, but you know.
Hey, that's something that I'm sure somebody couldn't solve. So a lot of us don't know you because hopefully this goes out to more than just people in San Antonio. So just give us your quick bio on where how you started.
Yeah, my name is Alisa Seelan. Like Mike said, I'm a mom of four boys, which is always an adventure every day. My husband and I started Fond Bone Broth in 2015 after seeing pretty dramatic change in my health as a result of drinking bone broth on a regular basis. And we have moved several times for the business throughout the Hill Country area and landed in San Antonio. We've been here for just under a year.
Well, great. Fond is a bone broth company, correct?
Yes.
Now, I know what it is, but maybe a lot of people don't know what bone broth is because it's not the same broth that you see in all the stores, correct?
Yeah. So one of the reasons we started Fond in particular was to provide a bone broth that was truly palatable for sipping. A lot of bone broths on the market say that they are sippable, but ours was designed to be so. We actually tell people that it's brewed like a beer, infused like a tea, and sipped like an espresso. We really wanted to get the beverage nature of this product across because I know we're all looking for that quick fix, what's going to make the biggest change in our diet. But really, with bone broth, it's about consistency. It's about consistent consumption on a regular basis. And what bone broth has in it is really collagen, especially chicken bone broth, which is what we specialize in, has collagen that helps to heal and seal gut flora. So besides being collagen rich, which is great to help with gut health. Now, you know, Mike, people are saying that in addition to probiotics, like a healthy gut is one of the foundations of having a healthy life. A lot of diseases start in the gut and have to do with leaky gut syndrome, which basically just allows toxins to flow into your bloodstream or prevents you from getting the nutrients out of your food. So leaky gut syndrome is kind of what we're here to combat, but we didn't want it to be something that was difficult or cumbersome or felt like a chore. In fact, we wanted it to be delightful. So you'll see synonymous with Bond is nourish and delight. We want to show people just how good for you can taste. And that's one of the main drivers behind Bond. We want it to be delightful from the weight of the jar to the look of the packaging to your first sip. Out of your favorite mug. That's really our goal here, is to create an incredibly enjoyable experience out of something that's supposed to be good for you.
Now, there are a lot of, well, I don't say a lot, but there's definitely, this is a growing category in store shelves, right?
Yes.
So what makes your bone broth different than maybe some of the other bone broths that are out there?
Our biggest differentiator are infusions. So we've got 5 main flavors. Again, a lot of people decided to create different flavors through different meat types. So you've got your pork, your chicken, your beef. We decided to just really hone in on one meat, which is the chicken bone broth, which happens to have the most collagen to help with digestion. And we chose 5 different flavors. So we've got our trolley dodger, which is lemon, garlic, radish, and onion infused into the chicken bone broth. We have our spur, which is beet, poblano, and serrano. We have our favorite seasonal, which is that smoky chipotle with butternut squash and fresh rosemary. And so really just wanting to delight the palate, as well as present the end consumer with a really well-rounded, thoughtfully created flavor every single time. So that's pretty much the difference. We're not just providing you with a beef broth or a chicken broth or a turkey. We're really providing you with something we believe is a Texas treasure.
Now, people can use this more. I mean, this is not necessarily the type of the broth that you would just use like in a recipe, right? I mean, as far as like, hey, we're going to boil or, you know, braise our meat in. This is a whole different level of broth. Is that correct?
Yes. So it's definitely a gourmet product. In fact, one of my favorite things is hearing new cooks or new chefs, new home chefs, tell me that this is the most delicious meal they've ever made, or it's the tastiest thing they've ever created. We're really here to try to help. Yes, so you can definitely use this in your cooking. We have a lot of mom chefs and at-home chefs who tell us this is their favorite product to use, their secret ingredient when they're creating something special. You can definitely use this in your cooking. We have a lot of at-home chefs or mom chefs who love to whip this out. It's a really, you can use it in your macaroni and cheese, but obviously we hope that it has a larger culinary end. One of the things that I love about providing bone broth more readily is that that's how people used to cook. It was the original fast food. Mm-hmm. They would have a stock pot on the back of the stove going continuously. They would add it to all of their dishes, and we've really fallen out of that practice. For us, stock, which is a bone broth that's cooked for a significantly less longer amount of time, and not necessarily with the bones, is our introduction to broth. It's what chefs affectionately refer to as soup scum. So our experience with broth is very impoverished. And when you start adding something to your meals, like, again, even your rices or your zoodles that has been cooked for 18 to 24 hours, the flavor is just unmatched. Nothing compares with thyme. And the flavor and love and attention that our broths add to a meal does not go unmissed.
Well, now I know why I like Vietnamese cooking so much, because a true pho is pretty much a bone broth.
Exactly.
They cook that. It's all about the broth. They cook it hours, and they got the big knuckle in there, and now I know why I like it so much.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't want to make this just about your product, which I think is amazing. I really love the whole human element of what's going on with you, because you're not the typical entrepreneur. You're more than just this founder of a company. You're also a mother and a wife, and you've got to juggle all these different roles.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that like? I mean, how many boys?
So we have 4 boys, 5 and under. Our first two are 14 months apart, so that's technically Irish twins. So they are always at each other, rambling, wrestling over something in the background. Yes, so being a mom is first and foremost, and a wife. So being a mom of four boys is a huge part of my identity. I love it. It's an adventure every day. Our fourth son that we just had in April, we didn't even make it to the hospital. He came too fast, and Isaac delivered him. And so we just have, like, really fun stories with each of their births, and really embrace every day as an adventure. When Isaac and I got married, we didn't want having kids to engulf our entire identity. We wanted to use our talents and gifts and abilities to the best of our physical strength and mental strength and emotional strength. And we wanted to teach that as a skill to our kids. We didn't want to see having kids as the only thing that we did now. And we've really stuck to that. It's made our lives look a little bit unconventional, but it's been something that we think has been valuable for our kids to see. You know, as they see, oh, more people are buying the dog. Oh, wow, we can, you know, we're hiring more people, and just showing them how this has worked and the value of effort has been a huge blessing to be able to pass on to them. But the biggest thing that we have done well is asked for help. So we have a huge community, whether it be my cleaning lady. I mean, I consider her a friend. You know, just knowing what we're not able to do and inviting people to meet us in the spaces where we can't. And instead of seeing that, a lot of moms struggle with mom guilt. I struggle with mom guilt. I don't know if it's the same for dads, but we oftentimes tell ourselves what we're not doing. And I have a phrase of just letting that guilt roll into gratitude. You know, how can I be thankful for the people in my life who can fill this gap for me or for my children? Isaac and I definitely wanted to handle some things differently with them. We wanted to control all of their schooling, and we've had to make compromises in that way and invite people to help us in that process, and seeing things for, you know, what they are, but being grateful for people who've been able to step in when we're not able to totally do it. And that's oftentimes our employees. I mean, our team is so awesome. I feel constantly blessed for the kids that we're able to employ as well. I say kids, they're like 2 and 3 years younger than me. But I mean, for our team, you know, they're really awesome. And they're one of the reasons that we're able to keep going and to grow as fast as we have. For a 3-year-old company, most of our employees have been with us either from 6 months on or at least for 2 years. So we've kept a lot of them around.
Yeah, I definitely have seen a lot of the same faces, especially on the farmer's market aspect, for a long time. Definitely a testament. Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's I don't know how you do it with four boys. And I do tell you, people, I have seen the secret, what bone broth could do. If you have thinning hair, I have seen her most recent addition. This little boy, I swear, is the thickest, most hair I have ever seen on a little child. So I think the secret is bone broth. So the new supplement we should have for the men hair, men's hair club, whatever it is. If you're thinning hair, you should get some bone broth, because, man, the hair, it comes out amazing. So
hey, even, I was
jealous. I have thick hair, but that's even thicker than mine. Well, let's talk a little more about the company. So where at, I mean, you're growing. So what stage of growth are you at? What's kind of going on with that?
So it's always hard to kind of see when you're in it, where you're at. But I've been told from outside sources that we are no longer, you know, earlier or small stage startup, and we've reached that medium stage. And for me, that's really exciting, because we've solved a lot of the problems for rapid growth that we were encountering. So, okay, how do we make more of our product without costing exponentially more? How do we continue to make more of our product without making some of the compromises that we won't make, like adding preservatives or acids or shortening our cooking time to where we can no longer be called a broth? We're departing from pasture-raised chicken. So we've made no compromises in the quality of the product. And yet we've still intelligently solved scaling issues through some pretty cool technological advancements. And a lot of that just starts by knocking on doors. One of the things that I've been told is a good quality of mine is that I just don't give up. And so I'm kind of a bulldog in that way. And if I have, you know, a problem that I need to solve, even if we go in 3 of the wrong directions, to me, that's just 3 directions that we're crossing off our list, and now we can go the other way. So, you know, it does take a little bit of a tireless personality, but we're excited about Bond's future. In October, we're going to launch nationwide shipping, and that's the thing that we've been working towards since last June. So we have been working really hard to find a way to transport refrigerated glass safely across the United States.
Man, it's not easy.
No, and we've done a lot of testing to get to that point, so we're really excited about that. We've got a couple of large wholesalers that we will be releasing with as well. I don't like to say it till the shipment is out the door, but you know how that goes. So we're excited about the next stage, and we feel that the best is yet to come, really, for our team, which is very, very fun.
Yeah, no, I applaud you. I think that's definitely the future business, you know, having that direct-to-consumer aspect, and you're trying to solve a hard challenge of logistics of it. That's good. Every episode we do, we always do a takeaway. It's kind of a gift to some of our listeners to bring value to them. So if you could speak to somebody at home, maybe another mother that's in a situation that's sitting at home or in her car right now driving, listening to this podcast, what's some advice you could give to them about the food business or thinking about, you know, entering this this crazy world?
So I believe mothers are uniquely poised to solve real problems for people. I love looking on Instagram or Facebook and seeing these products that are marketed to me, and I think to myself, a mom came up with that. Just because we're so aware of the needs that people have, and most of us are so inclined to problem solving, what I would tell you is the world needs your ideas. The world needs your problem solving. I started Bond because I tried to get my friends to drink bone broth, and they told me two things. It's too difficult for me to make, and it's too difficult for me to flavor. And that was the problem that we chose to solve. So I would tell you, keep paying attention. Also, your work as a mom has prepared you to be an awesome CEO. You can juggle 12 things at once. You can hear the concerns of your employees and your suppliers and your distributors, and you can be kind to them throughout the process. So I think it's really, really unparalleled education. Being a mom and being a CEO has had so much crossover for me, and I would encourage you to start now. It's never been easier to launch a business. It's never been easier to self-distribute, and it is such an exciting time for so many of us to return the attention of the American consumer back to the maker, and we will see ripple effects for generations.
Okay, well, that's awesome. How do people reach out to you? What's ways of them getting in touch with you or buying your product?
So you can always find us if you're in San Antonio at the Pearl Farmers Market every Saturday and Sunday. I mentioned the farmers market because that's where you can experience the product firsthand, and you can taste it and see just how different our bone broth is than every other bone broth on the market. We're also at the New Braunfels Farmers Market, the Texas Farmers Market, Mueller and Lakeline in Austin. And we're in a handful of other retailers, which you can always find on our website, bondbonebroth.com. If you want to reach out to me personally, you can always just drop me a line. It's alysa@bondbonebroth.com. Whether you're a future entrepreneur, you know, I would love to hear from you. Questioning being an entrepreneur. There are so many people who helped me out in the beginning of this journey, and I would love to be in touch.
I echo that. Don't make this a lonely business. You're going to need the community to help you as much as possible.
Yeah, I told that to someone just this morning. It's lonely, and it's hard if you let it be that way.
That is so true. Now, do you have an Instagram page? Someone can reach you. I know your Instagram page.
Yeah.
So
we're at, thank you, at Bond Bone Broth, and then Facebook as well. There's always someone, I kid you not, day or night, ready to answer your Facebook messages.
And you'll see some of the best local farmers and meat and some of the cutest family we've ever seen. So definitely, if you're in the area, San Antonio and Austin, hunt them down. They're definitely a company to try. But if you're not local, then, yeah, absolutely follow them on Instagram. Reach out. Try this bone broth. It is unlike any other bone broth I've ever had. We've actually even played with some of their bone broth, and we're not going to talk about it, but – It makes more than just bone broth. It actually makes a pretty good
Bloody Mary.
Bloody beefy or something. Or bloody, it's a chicken now. So, yeah, it makes a good chicken Bloody Mary. But anyway, that wraps up another interview. And thanks for your time. I appreciate it. I really had a lot of fun.
Thank you, Mike. It was great to be here.
Well, that was another interview that this time, though, it was short, but it was so sweet. And on point. Fond Bone Broth, people. Learn that name. Memorize it.
keep watching out for it. Keep an eye out for Elisa. She is going to do great things in this business and the food scene. I know she's got so much going on. I cannot wait to reveal more in the future that she's got working. I know this will be a success in everything that she touches. Don't you know that sometimes, you ever met those people that sometimes you just know they seem to have everything together? I feel that Fawn and Elisa are just those type of people. Now, I know she's probably going to listen to this podcast and she's going to laugh and she's going to say, oh, how wrong you are. And I know, I mean, she shared some issues and stories with me in the past, but you know, they always seem to combat them with just ease. So we, you know, we really look forward to bringing them back on this show in the future and checking in with them and following along in their story as well, because you definitely will hear about them again. Well, it's that time again for Madge's Moment. Yeah, okay, still got to work on that special effect. So let's talk about a moment of what's going on in the world of Madge's food. Well, first of all, I want to take a few moments out here to apologize. I normally like to release these early on Friday morning, and here we are, 10-ish on Friday evening, sitting in the Walmart parking lot of somewhere outside of Houston, Texas. Now, I purposely didn't do this, but I'm trying to see if I can hit my deadline by getting this released on Friday. And sadly, I don't know. I still have a little bit of editing to do and uploading on the cellular data. So we'll see if I can get it in before midnight. So if I upset you, I'm sorry. But it's been a little busy the last couple days, so this took a slight back seat. Well, so let's continue. You know, nothing really huge this week, but some amazing opportunities I think are starting to present themselves. And sometimes these sales opportunities, it takes months and multi-steps. But you know, a couple episodes ago, you've met James Canner. If you haven't, then I highly suggest you go back a couple episodes. I think it's episodes 14 and 15, maybe. And you listen to this amazing chef. But anyway, he was doing a catering gig for business, and he actually called and said, hey, I'd like to get some of your Bloody Mary to take with us. And of course I will, because I know he's used our Bloody Mary and took first place in a Bloody Mary competition. So I'm always trust this guy to just, you know, represent it to the utmost. And so he actually got it in front of a buyer for a chain of with 47 locations. So it looks like we'll be dropping off some samples next week. Well, that's kind of exciting. I definitely need to update my sales sheet. And frankly, I probably should start looking at really spending some time and energy having a professional build a sales sheet instead of this Renaissance man that likes to do everything himself. We keep running out of labels and kimchi. That seems to be our battle. I'm shipping them later than I want to be, so it seems I'm sending out my, you're going to love this, I apple-ologize letters. So yes, you heard that right. It's a letter with a big green apple that says I apple-ologize, like I apologize. Anyway, you know me, if you don't, I love corny humor. But basically, this is a letter that apologizes for sending them out later than we intend to, and it offers free shipping. Now, you know, that's cost involved for, and let me be honest, we're not necessarily late. We are late based on our standards, not on Amazon standards. But I kind of like Zappos type mentality where it's about under promise, over deliver. And I feel that because we consistently are running out of stuff and we have to delay shipping, that we are not getting the product out there as fast as we like to, even though we are still staying within the confines of what Amazon requires. But it's also, I think, for us, this is a good strategy. This is another good way of you know, there's two reasons for doing this. One, it's a small token. Let them know what we think of them and how much we care. And it's just a small token of, you know, kind of not living up to our expectations of customer service. But the number two reason, it's the battle of data. It's an intent to drive these customers to our website so we can establish data ownership of these customers. Because right now, they're Amazon customers. They're not mine. They're Amazon's. Now, I think the future, you know, I'm not saying that retailers are going to go away, but I definitely do think that the future is the big game is all about the data. It's who controls that relationship between the brand and the customer. And I think there's definitely going to be, you know, like an Amazon where you're still going to want to use that kind of retailer, you know, because they're just efficient at it, right? They're very efficient about bringing in customers. But I think we need to establish those relationships with our customers too and start to build them. And I think that's the big data. That's the value that companies or investors will really see value with the company in the future. But, you know, we're waiting on labels from our printers. Also, probably this week or next week, we'll be sitting down with one of our distributors that we have a good relationship with and haven't really done a lot of business with them, but it's definitely been picking up in the last 3 months. And they seem to be really just exploding, and especially a market north of us. And I met the founder the other day and said, hey, we need to sit down. And you guys are really doing some cool things, and I think we need to rework things. And it seems that, you know, at one time we attempted to do some distribution with them, but at the time their margins were just so outrageous that it would push the suggested retail price of our product that we kind of wanted to be in this range above that, so they weren't competitive. And I think they're starting to realize that this is a volume game, not a per transaction game. And so they've kind of been bringing their margins down, I think, more of a market level. I'm really excited about continuing that relationship. Known them since day one when I opened this company, or we opened this company. So it's kind of exciting to see them grow astronomical. Hopefully, they will be a future guest on this podcast. Beyond that, I think I've been pretty occupied this week. I'm going to have to be honest with you. I'm really excited about my older son, Alex. He finished his training, and he's coming home. I haven't seen him since March, somewhere around there. It's been about 6 months since the last time I seen him. He went off to the Army, and he went through, he's a cyber defense candidate, or whatever you want to call it, but he's been going through their school, which is basically 6 months of intense computer and network studies. I've heard it's compared to 2 years of college in 6 months, so it's really immersive and intense. And he called so excited that he completed his capstone, and now that he's graduated, though, he'll be able to come home, spend a couple of weeks with us before he goes off to his duty station in Georgia. I'm really excited, and it's kind of nice to see him in the Army, because I guess this is kind of your opportunity to get to know a little more about me and my human interest story. I, too, was in the Army when I was a young man, fresh out of high school. I just was not ready to focus and do anything in college, and so I wanted to go off and be all I could be. I think that was the battle cry back in those days, and so I did. I wanted to do the craziest, wild things that I could do, and so I joined the Army, went into the Ranger Battalion, 3rd Ranger Battalion out of Fort Benning, and jumped out of planes, helicopters, even fell out of a couple of them. Yeah, it's kind of good to see now that next generation doing this, but you know, this is my brainiac, so I'm glad to see him use his gifts and his brains to do some really cool thing. I'm really excited. But, you know, it got me to thinking. You know, you just heard in this earlier interview with Lisa that she asked, you know, she talked about mother's guilt, and she wasn't quite sure about father's guilt. So we have father's guilt, but usually it's delayed. We don't really have it maybe so much when they're young. but not until they're teens or young adults. And for me, it's more about, did I give them enough of these spot weld moments? Now, a spot weld moment, just if you're not familiar with that, is what I call, it's like these moments or experiences that become ingrained in their memory. Now, these are not always like big events, but sometimes they're just little seconds or moments that was important to them. Now, let me give you an example of like a spot weld moment that I had with my father. I believe I was kindergarten, and it was a rough day. I had got my booster shot in my arm, and then I went to T-ball practice where we were learning to catch fly balls. The fly ball went up and smacked right into my eye. Dad picked me up from practice, and I was sitting in the front seat back in those days where you didn't have to wear a seatbelt. That lovely Chevy Vega that we had. And I was just really just thought life was miserable. My dad looks at me and says, "Smile, son, things will be okay." And then goes to kind of give that fatherly little love tap punch in the shoulder or my arm. Oh, guess what? Yes, you're right. The same arm that I had just got that big, nasty booster shot in. And I cried. I was just miserable. And he felt so bad. But I'll tell you what, I have never, ever forgot that moment. It was a bonding moment. So, yes, we have guilt. And that is an example of that. But I think also, you know, it's also, have I prepared them for what happens when they reach 18? Now, I don't know how she does it. She's got four young boys. It's crazy. I mean, I have three teenagers. One of them's out of the house, and I still have two. And it is a huge challenge to manage a family and a company. So I respect her so much and what they're doing. I don't think we could have gone through at a young age what they're doing that. So, but I also think there's a lot of commonality, like she also talked about being a mother and running a company. And I think, you know, a family or husband, wife, or whatever, you know, if you're a single parent, then I think there's a lot of skill sets are transferable. You know, I guess that, you know, growing a company, we have that same kind of guilt that, are we prepared? Is this company prepared? Have we done our job in building or training or getting it ready to fly? You know, truthfully, I probably have more company or more guilt around the company than I do my kids. But sometimes I feel like a single parent at this company. Now, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but let me hear me out. I am and I'm not. I think there's a lot to get done, and it gets overwhelming. We're growing, and I know I'm not alone. I have a small team, and they are definitely growing and coming around. I know I can be difficult to work for. I'm pretty demanding, very specific. And it's just going to take time to get that ingrained into them and to train them in the processes. And that's probably part of the issue is I'm very verbal, and it's awful hard sometimes to keep up with me. But I always feel like a lot of this rests on my shoulders. Now, I'm going to take this time to interject and say I'm not alone. That I know that my partner, my wife, she is helping tremendously. More than I can expect. But she's really the one who's holding down the house, the family, making sure the bills are paid, all that, which is so much between what she's doing and having to commute, take the kids everywhere. And then on weekends, she's all about Madge's. So I know I'm not, but it still seems like there's so much as we grow to get done that, you know, there's that guilt with me that I feel like I should be working, you know, in the kitchen, making the product, you know, here these part-time employees are doing it, and I'm in the office, you know. But there's so much to do to work on the business instead of working in the business, and I'm really trying. And I feel that's the only way we're going to grow if I spend less time in and more time on. But also, I'm going to give props out to my partner because she is definitely helping out lately with following up, helping us do some planning and creating processes. Or when she doesn't think things are working out right, she's quick to call things out. So she's holding us accountable, and it's not always comfortable, but it's going to help us grow, and I know that. So I know I'm not alone. It's just a lot of times it just seems like my Slack list keeps getting longer. We're using Slack because it's helping. It is. It's. But at the same time, I keep telling people, put it on Slack, put it on Slack. And it seems like my list keeps getting longer and longer. But the happy thing I am about this is at least it's written down. In the past, it's just been ideas in my head or to-do list in my head. And it just gets overwhelming. And then I drop things out or it just gets overwhelming. So at least now I have a checklist. We can just start stars at a time. So is there anything else going on with the Madges? Well, I'm sitting here in Houston. I got another weekend of doing demos. We've had 3 weekends in a row scheduled here in Houston, so this has definitely been a sprint up here. Last week was very successful. You know, it was funny. One of my favorite stores, I went there, and it's barely I could get set up before I was mobbed by a bridal party. And they pretty much wiped me out. I think within 30 minutes of arriving at the store, we were sold out of one of our products, which our most popular one, flavors. And we actually did sell out that day completely. And I actually stayed around probably an extra hour just sampling to bring brand awareness for people in the future to say, hey, you know, come back next week and I'll have it restocked by then, which I did. So, and I still left 45 minutes early than my normal schedule. So, yeah, we had a good weekend last weekend, and now we're off some new stores. You know, this customer of ours has grown quite a bit in the Houston market. So there are a few stores we haven't even had a chance to demo or introduce our product to. So we're trying to go around and get into these new stores and sample out to not only customers, but also the staff, because we're finding that, especially with this customer, the staff, if you find that advocate on the staff that loves your product, they will help push it. And that's very important for our product, which is not in the normal place and not the normal product. It really helps to have those advocates with your customer that will really promote your product. And I know some of my biggest fans are them. I've got a few of the different stores that just absolutely drool over it. One of them was so excited to see me. He's, oh, I've been dying for your stuff. Did you bring some? I go, yes, I brought your stock. You'll be happy. He says, oh, good, I'm going to hide one so I can have one myself. So beyond that, I think that's about what's going on. And we got some, we'll see next week. We don't have a, we'll see next week's interview. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm not going to give you too many teasers on that. Thanks again for tuning in to My Fermented Life. Please take some time and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify. I did resolve the issue with Google Play, and we are on Google Podcasts. That's a big change for Google. And I think we're on 6 or 5 other platforms like Stitcher and some other ones, Anchor, obviously. So take some time, subscribe, share this. We appreciate the love. We'd also like to hear from you, so don't be afraid to reach out on Twitter at My Fermented Life or also on Facebook. Comment, tell a story, or if you know of a company that you think would be a wonderful guest, please let us know and we'd like to talk with them. On that note, have a good day. Enjoy.